And let's get started tonight. We are going to turn to, if you would, 1 Samuel, and we're going to take on somebody's excuse tonight. And it's something that we've heard, and just a little thing, but it's a big thing. And Christians turn to this verse very uneducatably, or whatever. But it's one of our excuses that Bible-believing guys used for years. And I mean, they still do. People still do. And I remember a man that taught Sunday school for me for a while and was a good teacher. I didn't realize at the time that he knew a lot of stuff, but his he couldn't teach her very well as such. And he had a horrible yard. I remember this. He had a terrible yard, weeds, and just never mowed it, and the horrible. The house was a disaster. It was horrible, and even his own appearance wasn't always nothing spectacular. And again, I'm not picking on the guy. I'm just using this for an illustration. And down in Vegas, when I lived down there, some of the Christian families and the men were very slobby. And one of the things I wanted to have at the church in Tushy was a very clean and nice looking yard for a testimony. And I was always hearing from this particular guy, well, why do you spend church money and why do you spend so much time, you know, getting the lawn looking nice? I said, well, I want people when they walk by here not to be able to use it against us that we're lazy slobs, you know. So we had a very nice yard. At least I tried to, Bob. We tried to keep the yard looking pretty and clean and trimmed up and mowed. And in fact, I got a lot of my sermon ideas and thoughts written while I was riding around on my club cadet. And oh, do I miss that club cadet? I know I will miss it this next spring with this big yard I've got. I mean, it's huge. I'm hoping the school still sees fit that they keep it mowed for me, or at least I could at least use their mower or something. I don't know. Anyway, however, whatever. And I was always told by these Bible-believing guys, and the missionaries would come and they'd say the same thing, you know. And they would always use this verse in Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, 7 is where we are. And like I said, tonight would be rather short because this is all I want to deal with. There's not much to say about it, really. We're just going to point out the flaw that it's a false verse to use. And all it is just an excuse. 16, 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So they'd kind of skip the first part of that verse. They would just always quote the last half. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So they would use that. Well, you know, if you're going to judge me, you're judging me on the outside. You're judging me by how I dress. You're judging me for how I look, how my lawn looks, blah, 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 blah. And you're not supposed to do this. See, man looks on that outward appearance, but the Lord looks at my heart. So my heart is fine. My heart is great. My heart is, as they would sing quite often, is your heart right with God? And they would say, yes, it is, because I have prayed and confessed my sins. These are Bible-believing guys. You know, they go to church and they preach and they do their Bible studies and they have their visitation nights and they whoop and holler and amen and things in church. Yeah, my heart is right with God. It's my wife that's got to get it together. It's my kids that aren't obeying, but my heart is right with God. So don't look at my outward appearance. Look at my heart like the Lord looks upon my heart. I've heard that a million thousand times. I suppose I did it myself, I guess. I don't recall thinking that. But, you know, then they would go to John, for example. John chapter 7:24, they would say, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So they would go after the judgment. They'd go down on the street corners and they'll preach it, everybody, and they'll preach this righteous judgment stuff, according to the Great Commissional stuff. And they themselves would look horrible. Guys that are preaching. Well, you guys are judging my appearance. Don't judge me by my appearance, but I'm here to judge your righteous judgment, you know, so. They go down there wearing their suspenders, you know, and their tank tops and their pants, all this kind of junk. Well, you know, they're judging us by our appearance. No, they're judging you by what you're mouthing off. And yes, they are judging you by your appearance, and that isn't how you should be looking. But that gets into the argument thing here. And if they want to, they go to Psalm 90, for example. Somebody wants to fix that comment, fix those thoughts about judgment here. They would say, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. That's in Psalm 90. So they come up with these things that their work may be pleasing to God, their heart may be pleasing to God, but their appearance doesn't matter. And as a result, we have people out in this world that don't want what Christians have. They don't, you know, they don't like it. They don't want anything to do with it. Or the Christians are being party with everybody, looking like they do, dressed like they do, talk like they do. Now with all the Christmas party things coming up, they got all this stuff to deal with. And, you know, they just be like the world out there. And then they say to the other Christian who challenges that, if they do at all, well, you know, you're judging me by my outward appearance. And no, the world that's out there looks at people that say they're Christians, and they see a two-faced person. They see a hypocrite. Even the lost world, I've heard many times, you know, what are you doing here? You really shouldn't be here if you say you're a Christian. Why are you dressed like that? I thought you said you were a Christian. There's a conscience that, remember, there's a conscience that Gentiles can have. Even though we know it's seared, there's still something there that people just kind of know that modern Christianity is just a flake. It's just a fluff. It's all pretend. And it is. We know that. I mean, they're actually right. They're correct with that. Not rightly dividing, of course. They think that they're supposed to stop sinning, and everybody knows they don't stop sinning. They might stop a few, you know. And because they could care less about their outward appearance, they use that as an excuse. Well, here we are. So there are the verses. Here's our excuse. Well, man looketh on the outward appearance, Lord looketh on the heart. So I'm right with God. Whether you like what I look like or do or whatever, that's your problem. Well, knowing that Paul's main ministry, you know, is to reveal that mystery, but amongst that revealing is a manner of life. And this manner of life does actually affect our outward appearance. You are going to change. If you're going to change what you wear, you're going to change where you go and don't go. You're going to supposedly change how you talk. You're going to change how you are as a man. You're going to change. You get into Timothy and Titus. There I go again. There's this manner of life, the walk stuff that everybody hates so much, you know, out there. Well, I was just thinking, people are going to see our outward appearance. They're not going to know our heart. They're not going to understand that, well, you know, all things are lawful to us. They don't get that. And can you blame them? So Christ died on the cross so we can do anything we want now? That's exactly how they look at it. And honestly, that's how they should look at it, because they don't know anything else about it. I mean, they don't know that we are still supposed to make sure nobody stumbles with it. We're supposed to make sure that it edifies, you know, the proper teaching thing from Paul and the risen Savior. They don't know that we know that we're supposed to know that it's to... edify is supposed to, what's the other word? I can't think of it now. Okay, it's not supposed to be because we can't not do it. There's a power over us. We have to make sure that it's not an occasion for the flesh. So yeah, we can, he didn't die so we can do anything we want. He died and rose again so he could take care of the law so that we're not accountable to the law. And so whatever we do right will be his praise and his glory and our reward, and whatever we do wrong will burn, but we won't. And there, you know, we know there's more to that, even a deeper, but they don't understand that. So, sure, somebody that's out there and doesn't understand rightly dividing, doesn't understand all these things that Paul has taught us, well, sure, they're going to judge us on our outward appearance because we're doing things we ought not. But see, we have to remember, well, you know, we ought not be doing that stuff. Well, why not? Well, because they don't understand, and they don't want a Christianity that still allows you to hurt people and hurt your brother and kill people, like they say, and steal and all that. They don't understand that. But what they should see is our outward appearance should still change. Again, you go to Titus, you go to Timothy especially. Now, I know a man back in Tushy who said to his people and friends and family and stuff, you know, you don't want to change the outward appearance until your heart has it right. So that would justify all the things that he went and justified. Because, see, we shouldn't be looking at our outward appearance. Well, sir, I'm sorry to tell you, but yes, your outward appearance is a testimony. And your family and certain people want to change their outward appearance. They do want to change things according to Paul's teachings from the risen Savior. And people are going to see that. But is that wrong? Well, let's look at a couple other verses here. Maybe you'll get my point here. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. I guess there's a couple different ways to look at what I'm trying to say here tonight. Is one is the lost world to look at our outward appearance and see that we're doing things we ought not do, even though we know we can, even though the strings attached to our liberty says we really shouldn't be doing that. Does that make sense? It's going to cause them to stumble. Which is what most Christianity is doing, is just causing the world to stumble. They don't want today's Christianity. There's nothing exciting about stopping sinning. There's nothing exciting about being dressed in such a manner that you're on a hot day. There's nothing exciting about not being able to go to the beach. I mean, not wanting to go to the beach. We can, but you're definitely going to cause somebody to stumble, or it's going to be a flesh activity, or doesn't edify. I mean, we go down the list of things. We have to remember those things. Philippians 4:8, last week we talked about, think on these things that are what? And if the things that we're thinking on aren't of those caliber, then that stuff's going to burn. It's just that simple. But if we take this fact here that in Samuel, no, well, in the world out there, they look at the outward appearance, but God's looking upon my heart, so I'm fine. That's an excuse to not change, is all this is. It's just an excuse to dress the way you want, do what you want, go where you want, talk like you want, read what you want, watch what... I mean, it's just an excuse. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, but we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. And there's a... We see here, for they themselves... I go to this verse all the time, don't I? For they themselves, these people in Macedonia, show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Now, these people must have seen something. Did they see somebody's outward appearance, yet their heart was wrong? No, they saw that they changed their lives. How can you say that? Because it says, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They saw that. We cannot use the excuse that man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on their heart. Our outward appearance should change as well. It just should. There's an example right there. Now, if we go to 1 Timothy... Whoa. Well, you think I smoked or something, you know? But I don't. The only smoking I ever did was Dad's when he was done smoking. While he was smoking. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. Now, why do I have 1st? Let's check it out here. It doesn't look right. 1 Timothy 1. Sure it is. Here we go. Here are some reasons why we need to make sure that our outward appearance is still of a risen Christian. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, this is Paul, first, in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. Paul was going to have to suffer. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Our life, our suffering, our frustrations, our, I guess I should just say persecutions and sufferings, not our frustrations, well, is a pattern. What Paul goes through here is a pattern that we also are going to go through. But see, if we don't want to go through that pattern, If we don't want that suffering and persecution and being picked on and people arguing and fighting with us and all that stuff, if we don't want that, then we change our outward appearance to be like everybody else is in the world. We act like they do. We dress like they do. We go over, you know what I'm saying? So what do we change? We change our outward appearance so we're not having to follow that pattern that Christ gave to Paul, and for a pattern to them which should hereafter, this is after Paul's teachings now, believe on him to life everlasting, and that's us. So if we don't want this kind of suffering, what do we change? We change our outward, no, we don't change our outward appearance, we leave it as is. We may change the inside, but we don't want to change the outside. Why? Well, because man looketh on the outside appearance, and so they'll see that we're still part of them, so there won't be any suffering. So the Lord is looking at my heart. He will ignore my outside, my outward appearance. No, he won't. No, he won't. Our outward appearance, what we see, what they see on the outside is our works and how we dress and what we do, according to Paul's teachings. Those things will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So this outward appearance that we're letting go is what's going to be judged. So not only does man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's Old Testament stuff. We get from Paul that those things that we do on the outside, again, that outward appearance, that's the stuff that's going to be judged. And if we do the stuff, people will see, and we will shew them, S-H-E-W, we will show them that we've changed our life. We're trying not to serve the idols. We're trying to serve the living God. And that should be noticeable. They should see that. Okay. A couple other things Paul says here. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Here we go again. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Okay, so we're going to suffer and suffer reproach. It's going to be work, it's going to be labor and suffer reproach. We're not just going to be able to ride the boat with the world, you know. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Here we go. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Be an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now some of that stuff is outward appearance. Till I come, and this is Paul we're talking about here, not Jesus till he comes, this is Paul talking, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. He's talking to Timothy here. We're not receiving any of these gifts by prophecy like Timothy has, with the laying on of the hands. Don't try to apply that to you. He's talking specifically to Timothy here, about thy youth and everything. So Timothy's supposed to be an example of the believers, it says there. So we read the book of Timothy, and there's our example, and there's how we should live, and there's our outward appearance. Does that make sense? He's telling Timothy, till he comes, here's what you need to do. I think it's in Acts 16, according to my notes, because he lays his hands on Timothy. Well, he doesn't do that anymore, and neither does anybody else. I mean, they do, but they're not supposed to. It doesn't click. So just be careful when you read that we don't claim that to ourselves. This is until Paul comes to Timothy. Let's make sure we apply this properly. Meditate upon these things, he says, Timothy. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. It's a visual stuff. This is his outward appearance. Now, we've also learned that when we change our doctrine, and we understand what Paul is teaching from the risen Savior, yes, our insides are changed, our soul is separated, spiritual circumcision, etc., etc., and it might take a while for outside to change. But what I'm saying here is we just can't use that as an excuse. Our outward appearance, what people see in our outside, will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And he says there, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Well, see, we don't see Timothy anymore, but we hear from Timothy all the time. This is what he told to Timothy. So, what Timothy says in his book, what we have in Timothy's books, 1 and 2 Timothy, from Paul, I mean, still to Timothy, given to us, well, the profiting that we will get from these books, what do you mean profiting? What do we get out of this? Grief and persecution. Yes, we do. But we're also supposed to have a joy and a peace. And people will see that. They will see that. Not just hear it, but see it. And when you read Timothy, you're hearing it. And yes, we need to be able to tell people why, but we also need to be able to show people what we've been taught, and then use the scriptures to explain why we have made those outward changes. We cannot use this as an excuse to not change the outward. But I know people have, even the Paul guys. I know, like I said, I know one guy that really got into it here. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 13:7. I'll show another one here. 2 Corinthians 13:7. Some people would probably say, well, now see here, it says right here that we should not appear approved. You know, the outward appearance thing. Well, let's read this really closely. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Okay? See, that's outward doing things. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. What is this? What is this? Well, read this closely. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we, who's we? Us Christians? Is this about us appearing, you know, appearing approved? No, he is saying here, we, this is Paul and his bunch. He says, now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not to make us look good, not to make Paul look good, not to make Barnabas and all these guys appear approved. Don't do it for them. But that ye should do that which is honest. See, I know, again, this man and a bunch of other people, I'm sure, have said, well, you're just doing that because your preacher says so. No. And Paul says, listen, don't dress right, don't talk right, go right, play the right music, do blah, blah, blah. Don't do that to make me look good so I appear approved. Do it because it's honest. It's the right thing to do. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye, there's that ye plural thing, see, to the Christians here, that ye should do that which is honest, though we is reprobates. People get mad at Paul and these guys. They hate them, you know. But Paul says, listen, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Yes, we want you to grow as a Christian. But man, don't do it for me. Don't do it for Paul. Don't do it for the pastor. Don't do it for Michael. Don't do it for, you know, I heard that. I heard that so many times back there. You want to dress that way because the preacher says so. No, it is not the preacher telling you this. It's the book. It's what Paul says. It's what you call changing your life. And it will change your outward appearance. Don't use it as an excuse to never change your outward appearance. And it just happens. Okay. So there's that. Let's look here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. Here we go. You go back to the first couple of verses of that chapter. He's talking about that we're walking in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh in verse 3. And casting down imaginations, 5. This is all doing things in our daily walk, you know. He says in 6:6, having readiness to revenge all disobedience, you know. Then he says, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? Is that how you look at things, is the outward appearance? Now, there's that phrase, outward appearance. And if you just scan through this thing really quickly, like we do when we read, well, especially you want to get in those 10 pages a day, so then you get a small Bible that you can hardly read, but 10 pages is only about 2.5 chapters, you know. But read this closely. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? Well, do you? That's what he's asking. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? Do you look at other people on the outside? Do you want something to look good even though you know you're not doing the right thing on the inside? I mean, is that what you're doing? Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? And we do, don't we? Why do people want to go back to church so badly? Because they like that outward appearance. Why do they like some of these pastors and these people? Let me drop a name here, because this name keeps popping up more and more. Les Feldick. Joel Osteen. Why do people go to these guys? Because of their outward appearance. Not just because they're good looking. You know, I'm not talking about that. But it's nice. It's comfortable. When they go to the Greek, you know what that looks like? That's a nice outward appearance. Oh, that looks good. That's intelligent. This guy's brilliant. You know, you're looking at things on the outward. Why do you like to go to church? Well, I enjoy singing. I enjoy the fellowship. You know what that is? That's the outward appearance. Because you know you're being lied to. You know that the pastor, as nice as he is, he's not teaching the truth. He might say some truthful things, but as a whole, he's not preaching the truth. And onward it goes. Why? Because you're looking at the outward appearance. And it really is easy, isn't it, today? Because if we looked at the outward appearance, we could find a whole lot more happiness out there in that outward appearance, playing the game, you know. We can. When we went to that camp in Mount St. Helens, and it rained, and they wouldn't let us have the fire because it could start a forest fire, but Mrs. Game Warden, it's raining. How in the world could we start a fire when it's raining? Remember that last thing? Nobody here on there that went to that thing. That was amazing, you know. But I heard all the noise in the camp and stuff, and I just thought to myself, you know, getting back to nature is not going to a state park. It's getting back to nature. It's going out there by yourself and living out there in those trees with the best way you can to survive. I want to get back to God with this church. I want to get this church out of this camp, this Baptist camp we were in. I wanted to get us out so we can meet God again. That means we had to go off on our own. And when you do something like that, boy, I'll tell you, everything else around you has this marvelous outward appearance. Because you're stuck in the woods. You're by yourself. Can you imagine somebody who's been lost in the woods and they stumble across a McDonald's or a hamburger joint, or even a good hamburger joint, anything. And they know that food in there is just poison city. What about people that are really starving and they come across this dead animal with maggots that are crawling around? I don't think the outward appearance looks all that great, but when you're starving, you'll probably still eat it. And so these people today are starving for truth. They're starving for teachings. They've gone so far, they've been eating roadkill church. There we go. Roadkill church. Roadkill Baptist church. You know, they've been eating roadkill for years because it looks good. They dial it up and put a little ketchup on it, you know, and put it in a bun, and nobody knows that it came from the highway 3 weeks ago. So what is this all about? It's about outward appearance. Christians use 1 Samuel 16:7 as an excuse to let their outward appearance go to pot, because the Lord looketh on the heart. And we are seeing where Paul reminds us, yeah, the Lord looks upon our heart because he fixes all that. And there's going to come a day at the judgment seat of Christ that he is going to judge what we have done on the outward appearance, on the outside. Yes, we can have a fake outward appearance and have a wicked on the inside. We can be clean on the inside and have a lousy outward appearance. We can. But it's going to cause people to stumble. It's not edifying. It's not expedient. It might be because of the power it has over you. And I would never can do them all in one big shot, can I? What's the other one here? Cause you stumble, power. an occasion for the flesh. So yeah, we have to watch this outward appearance. We don't want to be fakes, but we have to realize what Paul teaches us. And we certainly can't go back to Samuel for an excuse to let the outward appearance go to pot. Now, we probably all have something in our outward appearance that's bad, and we haven't fixed it yet. Well, let's fix it. Just like I can't think of the guy's name. He was a comedian, I guess, and he did this routine where the lady comes into the psychiatry office and he says she gives her problems, and he says to her, "Well, stop it." And she says, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, don't you have a problem with such and such?" "Yes." "Well, then stop it." I mean, that's it. That's all we need to know. If we have a problem with our outward appearance, okay, let's stop it. And let's fix that outward appearance. Because, Paul says, we need to be able to show people that Paul's teachings have changed our lives. They need to see that. We know that what Paul says, he says that the profiting will appear unto other people. They're going to watch us. They're going to see us. And then lastly, let's finish it with this verse right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, this is that word appearance shows up here. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. And he says here, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." There it is again, see? There are people out there which glory in appearance. They like the outside. They like what it looks like. And their heart is cold. Their heart is not right. It says, "and not in heart." Okay, so there are people out there that look at us that way. And there are people out there that live that way. Their Christian life is better on the outside, and they're just as lost as can be on the inside. Then Paul goes on here, though. "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So we have to remember that our outward appearance should be based on the fact that we are to live for Him, not for ourselves. So our outward appearance is going to change. If we're going to live for Him, if we're going to live for ourselves, it's not going to change. We might dress a little nicer. I know some people that their testimony is their leaven has slowly leavened the lump one piece at a time. And I said, and I've said this before, that modesty for most ladies I've run across is because they're heavy set. I'm going to use a nicer word now. They're heavier set. But when they lose that weight, they dress differently. No, it wasn't because you were being modest in God's eyes the way He taught it. You were just heavy set. So that was an outward appearance issue. You really weren't doing it for the right reason. You were doing it for yourself. And Paul says right here, there are people out there that glory in appearance. Yeah, they do. But not in heart. And he says, we are to live not for ourselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. So this outward appearance stuff can be taken either way. But let's not use it as an excuse, because we know that our judgment seat is going to be full of outward appearances. But it certainly is not an excuse to realize, well, God made me right on the inside. Who cares about the outside? Well, we should care about the outside. But it's going to cause us trouble and problems and persecutions, and this is what's going to happen. So, I think we can leave it at that. I think we could stop right there.